Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today I am sitting in my bedroom while Ryan takes a nap, so hopefully I'm not interrupted here. But I am jumping on to talk to you guys about all things postpartum. So I am 5 weeks postpartum today, and I thought it would be important to get on here and share with you guys a little bit about my postpartum journey. But also, I have reached out to other moms, specifically through my Instagram account, to ask them, what is one thing you wish you knew about postpartum before you had your kid? So I got, you guys, I got some of the best responses from other moms. A lot of them I can relate to. Some I can't relate to all of them. But what I'm going to do here today is share with you some of the things that I received from other moms on what they wish they knew about postpartum. And then I'll share with you guys some of the things that I specifically am going through right now and just give you some of my recommendations, some of my own advice. Please keep in mind, I am not a doctor. I'm not an expert in postpartum recovery. I've just lived it 3 times now. So this is one mother to another, sharing with you guys some of the things I wish I knew before having a baby. And if you are not a first-time mom, and maybe you're having your second baby or your third baby, hopefully this will just be a quick little refresher and reminder of some of the things that you are getting ready to go through as you are, you know, pregnant with number 2 or 3. So I'm just going to jump right in. The first thing I want to cover is the actual recovery from the labor itself. So you guys, if you've been following me before, you know that I've had both a vaginal birth and a cesarean birth. And then my last one was a vaginal again, so I had that VBAC. So I have experienced recovery from both sides, both vaginal and cesarean, and I will say they are very different. At least for me, they are very different. So a couple of the things, and this was a lot of what I got from my responses from other mothers, but bleeding, you guys, bleeding is a very normal thing. It's a necessary thing, but it's something that you don't really talk about or that you're warned about. So it's normal and necessary to bleed weeks after you have your baby. Basically, it's your uterus is, you know, going back to its normal size. It's going to be shedding that lining. So just like a period, you are going to bleed. And you cannot stick anything up your vagina. So you have to make sure that you have well equipped for diapers, for pads, because for panty liners, because, you know, bleeding is going to happen. Now, whether you bleed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 3 months is really going to depend on the person. And of course, you're going to want to, you know, talk to your doctor about what is normal. For me specifically, I typically bleed about 6 weeks postpartum. And one thing that bleeding also has helped me indicate is if I'm doing too much activity. So, you know, of course, when you first come home from the hospital, you're basically going to be wearing diapers. And if you go out to my Instagram, morgan.a.klein, I have a baby prep highlight. And I talk to you guys about all the things postpartum that I prep in my bathroom. And that includes basically diapers and big pads, all kinds of sizes of pads, because the bleeding's going to be heavier at first. And then week by week, it's going to get lighter and lighter and lighter, to the point where you may just need a panty liner. But again, going back to that activity level, when I'm doing too much, I bleed more. And so that's kind of my body's indication of saying, hey, slow down a little bit. You know, you're doing too much. You need to just go sit down and drink some water and cuddle with the baby. But bleeding, you guys, that was one of the overwhelming responses that I got, is that they didn't know that you were going to bleed this much. So think of it as a heavy period at first and gradually getting lighter, until that uterus is kind of back to normal size. I think that is the indicator that, you know, you shouldn't be bleeding anymore. Again, check with your doctor on how long you should be bleeding. It should definitely be something they ask you in your follow-up appointment. But bleeding was a big one. So be prepared with the pads. The second thing that I got a lot is pooping. Okay. So we worry so much. I think going into labor, we worry so much about pooping during delivery. First of all, let me touch on that. The nurses, the doctors, they don't care if you poop. They take care of it. Usually you don't even know if you poop unless you ask. And sometimes your spouse doesn't even know if you poop if the nurses do a great job of, you know, removing it quickly. But guys, you are pushing a baby out. You know, it is completely normal to poop because the best form of pushing is to poop like you need to go to the bathroom, pushing through your butt. So it's completely normal to poop during delivery. You know, if you do it, don't feel embarrassed. They are used to seeing that. But now I want to talk about pooping postpartum. There's a couple of reasons why pooping is such a hot topic, you know, after you give birth. One, both vaginally and cesarean, the first poop is terrifying. Couple of reasons why. First of all, the drugs. If you had an epidural and if you are taking some sort of a, you know, ibuprofen or any pain reliever postpartum, it's typically higher than that if you had a C-section, that can sometimes cause you to be constipated or for your poop to not be soft. So they start giving you a stool softener as soon as you give birth. Take the stool softener. Take it as directed, on time. Don't skip it. You want to take that stool softener because it's going to help you with some of the pain that you will experience during that first poop. And drinking lots and lots of water. Two of those things are my biggest recommendations because the drugs are going to make it so it's harder to poop. But then also pooping itself, if you just had a vaginal delivery, you may have stitches. So you have to think about how, you know, you're pushing something else out. Of course, it's not through your vagina, but all of that pressure really is just so painful and it's a little bit terrifying. So that's going to hurt. And then even when you had a C-section, I can even remember my first poop with my C-section. It was not pleasant. And it's because think of yourself like after you've been constipated, like the first poop, it just hurts. And I know this is kind of silly that we're talking about it, but it's important for you to know that it's not going to feel good and it may not come for a couple days. And that's just one of the worst feelings was pooping and just having that feeling that you needed to poop, but you couldn't poop and you were scared to push because you didn't want to tear a stitch or, you know, you were already in a lot of pain of your, in your core because you just had a C-section. So there's really no easy way out. So drink your water, take your stool softener. They should be prescribing you one from the doctor, but if not, grab some over the counter. I just used what they gave me and it worked really, really well, to make sure that it was less painful. So bleeding, pooping, those were the two biggest things that people told me they wish they knew about. But a couple other things is sweating. So postpartum sweats, and typically you're going to get these at night. I got these with all three of my children. You would wake up drenched in sweat. Like I'm talking to the point where you needed to get up and change your clothes. I believe this is because of the hormones. I believe this is your body kind of, you know, getting rid of the hormones. Not getting rid of, but rebalancing the hormones. So you may have these for a couple weeks postpartum. Mine have gone down now that I'm 5 weeks. I don't typically get them as long as I'm dressed appropriately at night. But sweating is a normal thing, and it is one thing I was not prepared for, waking up in those night sweats. So just know that it's normal. Try to dress appropriately. Most likely you're wearing a nursing top and shorts. And you can't really get much less clothing on, but yes, sweating was a big one that I got both in the questions and one thing that I was not prepared for going into postpartum, fourth trimester. The other two that I got a lot were stitches and hemorrhoids. So both of those are things that people didn't realize they would have to get after they had a vaginal birth or a cesarean. But obviously with a cesarean, you're going to have stitches. But with a vaginal, depending on how much you tear, it depends on if you have stitches or not. So I had tears with both of my vaginal births. They were second degree. So I did have stitches with both of those deliveries. and they just disintegrate, at least mine did. So typically for your postpartum visit, they're going to check on those. They're going to make sure that everything healed properly. But that's one of the biggest reasons you want to make sure you've got some of those products that I talk about in my Instagram post. Again, it's on a highlight, so you can go back and look at it. But Dermaplast, Tux, the Frida Mom, which I think I'm saying it right, Frida Mom, they came out with a foam that I absolutely loved this time around. I recommend everybody get that. But it's got witch hazel in it, so it's going to help a lot with both stitches and tearing, and also hemorrhoids if you experience hemorrhoids. So both the Tux and the foam that I talk about in my stories has witch hazel, which is going to help heal that. But both of those, you guys, are completely normal. Again, think about it. You just pushed a baby out of your vagina, and you know, hemorrhoids, all the pressure of carrying a baby and then the pushing, it's very common to get hemorrhoids. Sometimes they'll go away, sometimes they won't. I think it just depends on the severity of them. But again, talk to your doctor about them. Make sure that they're checking that for you during your postpartum visit so you can make sure to treat them properly. But completely normal stuff, you guys. Like so many other women get them. You're not alone, but it's good to be prepared for them. Good to have some products on hand if it's uncomfortable. And like I said, or sit bath. So I would have a bath with the witch hazel itself. So again, all of this stuff I linked on my stories highlight, all these products, I would recommend getting them or at least having them ready in your Amazon cart if you need them to get them. So that and a lot of ice packs. But that's the recovery section that I wanted to talk about. Now, of course, if you've had a vaginal and then maybe you have to have a C-section for number two or number three, in my case, it was C-section, so I was not prepared for that at all, you guys. As far as products go, I didn't really need any different products. I just didn't need a lot of the stuff for tearing or for stitches, obviously, in my vagina, but you have stitches in your abdomen, in your stomach, on your stomach. So they give you most of the things that you need to take care of that incision, but the biggest difference between the C-section and the vaginal is it is very hard to get out of bed after a C-section. You have to imagine your core was just cut open. So standing up, sitting down, getting out of bed is very difficult. You have got to truly ask for help with both recoveries. You've got to ask for help. But I remember with my C-section, that was the biggest thing for me was I thought I could do everything and I needed to ask for help. I was in a lot of pain. So you've got to kind of roll out of bed. Some people will get like steps for their bed. Go slow. Go very, very slow. But my biggest advice, if you have to have a C-section, is to get out of bed as quickly as you can. Not in the sense of get out of bed quickly, but get up and moving in the hospital. Go start walking around. It is slightly painful, but stretching stretching your body up and allowing your C-section to heal where you're not slumped over and you're really starting to stretch those muscles was the best advice that I was given. Hopefully I'm making sense here, guys, but your postpartum nurses are going to say the same thing if you had a C-section. But to get moving and really to just drive your shoulders up and back and kind of stretching your upper half to make sure that you're not healing slunched over, because that's going to create a lot of scar tissue, a lot of pulling sensations. And the second thing would be to massage your scar when it's right to do so, because the pulling sensation is something that isn't going to just go away, but you can definitely help it by giving that scar tissue a massage. So that's the recovery section that I wanted to talk about. So we touched pooping, bleeding, sweating, stitches, hemorrhoids, all the fun stuff, you guys, of postpartum. But something that you don't have a close friend or a sister or somebody else that's done this before you, you don't typically know about it. And so hopefully that gives you some insight on how to be prepared, what's normal. But of course, always listen to your doctor on healing, listen to your nurses. I am not a doctor. I'm just sharing with you the products that worked for me and how I recovered after all three of my births. Okay, second thing I wanted to talk about here is breastfeeding. I got a lot of responses, and I can obviously share my own experiences, but breastfeeding isn't something that just comes natural. It may for some people, so I certainly don't want to discredit if someone says it came natural to them, but it's hard, you guys. You have to get the latch down. You have to get your positioning down. You know, the baby may be tongue-tied or lip-tied. There's a lot of components to breastfeeding that don't just come naturally. They take work, and it's a lot. It's a full-time job to be breastfeeding. I am breastfeeding Ryan, and it's going pretty well, but we have identified that he has a slight tongue tie. So actually this week I'm going to get him into a doctor to get a consultation to see if we need to do a revision. A tongue tie is where basically they cannot latch on very well. And so it causes, right now it's causing him a little bit of gas because he's getting in more air as he is feeding. It's causing a little bit of like a clicking sound. So that's kind of what the first indicator was for me, was like this clicking sound. And again, that just means that his tongue is a little tight and he can't get a full latch around my nipple. He is still gaining weight, however, and he is still sleeping well, and he doesn't, he's not like spitting up or anything. So there's not a huge concern, but we are going to probably get it fixed if the doctor recommends that. I didn't have tongue ties with either one of my kids, but it is important to make sure it can help, or it can cause speech issues in the future. It can cause tooth and teeth issues in the future. So that is just one component that can get in the way of good breastfeeding with you and your newborn. But it doesn't come easy, you guys. It is hard. But let me talk about some of the things that are going to happen if you choose to breastfeed. Most likely, your nipples are going to bleed or crack because they are not used to having a baby suck on them, you know, around the clock, which is what your baby's going to be doing in those first couple days, couple weeks. So it's normal for them to crack and to get dry and then also to bleed. But there are so many great products out there on the market that can help prevent that. So I recommend a good nipple cream, and you're putting that on after every time your baby feeds. Typically, they're going to give this to you in the hospital, but I also have a couple of my favorites that I linked on my Amazon store. So again, all of these are in the baby prep highlights on my Instagram, morgan.a.climb. There's also nipple shields that you can get, and there's a couple other products that can help reduce the friction between your nipples and whatever you're wearing. So a lot of the times, like after your baby's fed, you obviously put a shirt back on, and sometimes the rub there can make it worse and can be really uncomfortable. So I know there's a lot of great shields that you can purchase, but it is normal, and it goes away over time once your nipples basically get used to having a baby suck on them. So cracking and bleeding was something I was not ready for with Cameron, with my first. But thankfully with the second and the third, I was prepared. So I was using that nipple cream and I didn't have too many issues. Cramping during nursing and why that happens. So there's some hormone in our body that when our baby nurses, it also causes some cramping in our uterus. And that's what I've been told and read. That is when our body is also shrinking that uterus back down to normal size. So it almost feels like labor contractions. Sometimes people say they're worse, but every time you nurse for like that first week, your body and your uterus also cramps. And so that can be a little bit painful, and you can wonder what the heck's going on. That is what's happening. It is normal. And I noticed in that first week or two after my nursing is when I would bleed the most. So it obviously makes sense when your body's cramping, your uterus is contracting, and then you're shedding that lining through, you know, your vagina, and you're bleeding more. So all of that to be said, it's normal for that to happen. I believe even if you're not breastfeeding, there's going to be some component of contracting because your uterus does have to get down to its normal size. I'm not sure what that looks like since I've always breastfed my kids. But cramping during nursing is one thing that I was not prepared for either. So that's what's happening when you're experiencing those cramps. Engorgement. So this is going to come in. Your milk is not going to come in as soon as you have that baby. My milk came in, I think, about day three or even day four with Ryan. I can't remember with the other kids, but your boobs are obviously getting bigger throughout pregnancy, but then comes in your milk and they go to a complete another size. So be prepared to have very big boobs and very hard boobs. So when my milk came in, your baby can't really keep up with what's coming in, right? It takes a couple days, couple weeks for your body to learn what the demand is to create the supply. So you are gonna have this engorgement where your boobs are just very full, they're very hard, they're extremely uncomfortable to touch. You won't be able to sleep on your side, or really on your back or your side is a little bit uncomfortable. This is normal, but this is gonna take time. So there's a lot of different advice out there. I'm not gonna get into it because I want you to make sure you do your own research, but some say to, just to stick with it and allow your baby to feed as often as they can. And you don't want to trick your body to think that they need to continue to make the milk. So you don't want to express your boobs and create that release and create some of that that pain out, because then you're telling your body, yeah, I need you to make this milk, when it's not your baby sucking from you. But what I've done in the past, just to ease a little bit of this engorgement, a little bit of this pain and this fullness, is I've either hand expressed in the shower or I've pumped just a little bit. I'm talking like for 3 minutes, just because I needed a little bit of release. So I know there's controversy around that. That is what I did, but you should definitely do your research. And speaking of research, I would highly, highly, highly recommend knowing about a lactation consultant. At my hospital, a lactation consultant came around for every birth that I have and talked to me about all of these things. So they would first assess the latch. They would assess the way that I was positioning my baby to breastfeed. They would offer me different tips. They would talk to me about the nipple cream. They would talk to me about engorgement. They would talk to me about how often I need to feed my baby and what that looks like. So thankfully, I got that visit with a lactation consultant. My hospital also offers follow-up appointments with a lactation consultant, and I took advantage of that when I had Cameron, and I went in and we did a whole session, not necessarily because I was having problems, but I just wanted to make sure I was doing everything right. So I would recommend finding a lactation consultant in your area, whether that's through the hospital or whether that's through your pediatrician. Have somebody that you can use as a resource if things are difficult or you just want that reassurance. The other recommendation I have is that when that lactation nurse comes in the hospital, have your husband there, have your partner, your spouse, or your mom, or someone that's going to be helping you out, have them there with you to hear those same exact things that they talk about. Devin really, he picked up on things that I didn't remember when we got back home. And so Devin really helped me that first go around of like making sure the latch was good and making sure that I was doing everything and checking all the points basically. Because again, the hospital visit is sometimes such a blur. You're tired, you're on a high that you just had a baby. And so it's good to have somebody else listening to that lactation consultant, asking some questions as well, because then they're your support person when you get out of the hospital. So I would recommend that. But guys, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. It can be hard, and you have to do what's best for you and best for your baby. And don't feel the pressure and the guilt of loving breastfeeding like a lot of people do, okay? And it takes time. And for some people, that time never comes. And for their own mental sanity, they choose to either exclusively pump and give their baby a bottle, or they choose formula. And I am on this podcast to tell you that you need to do whatever is best for you. A fed baby is a happy baby. A happy baby is a happy mom. And even a happy mom is a happy baby, okay? And so don't feel that guilt. There's enough things to worry about when it comes to motherhood, and feeding your baby should not be one of them. I am here to tell you that I have breastfed and formula fed both Cameron and Maxwell, and if I need a formula feed Ryan, I will do that, because I know that they are both thriving. Both my first two kids are thriving off formula. Yes, did I feel guilty when I did it with Cameron? Yes, I did. But going back and thinking about it, I wish I didn't carry that guilt and that mom shame, because guess what? Fed is best. There's good formulas out there. But if it's hard for you, go seek a consultation with a lactation nurse. It's totally worth it. There's a lot of great resources online as well. But ask for help, you guys, and don't be afraid to admit that it's not coming easy for you. The last thing I'll say about breastfeeding, it comes out of many holes, you guys. So milk, it shoots out in like 3 or 4 holes out of your nipple, not just one. That was one thing I did not realize before having Cameron. So just a little tip there. When you start to see your milk coming out, it comes out of multiple holes. And if your baby sometimes comes off the nipple, it will continue to come out of your boob if it's full enough. So all of that is just such fun stuff to be ready for. All right. Next thing I want to talk about is coming home from the hospital. Coming home and feeling like you are still pregnant is going to not still pregnant. You're going to look like you're still pregnant. So your core, your organs, they all were just shifted around to care for this baby for 9 months. And it is not just going to all come together overnight while you're in the hospital. And when you get home, you're able to fit back into your pre-pregnancy jeans and clothes. It is not going to be like that, you guys. I am trying to be so real and so transparent. And I posted a picture of what my body looked like 1 week postpartum. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of people that haven't had a baby were very surprised that I still look pregnant. And so I'm really glad that I shared that because I think too often we see other moms that maybe look like they're back to normal super quick. And I'm just here to tell you guys, like, that's not the norm. Some people do, but most people don't. So you're still going to look about 6, 7 weeks, or I'm sorry, months pregnant after you have the baby. I'm 5 weeks postpartum right now, and I still look probably 18 weeks pregnant right now. Or 20 weeks pregnant, and that's okay. Like, my body is still healing. My core is separated. My organs are still probably finding its way back to their normal home. Or, you know, there is no new normal, or there is no going back to what it used to be. There's a new normal of what your body's going to look like. So that is one thing that probably surprised a lot of women probably the first time, is that their body's not just going to go right back to normal, especially their stomach. And you will look pregnant, and you want to hold on to those maternity clothes because you're going to probably want them for the first couple weeks postpartum. All right. Couple more things I want to touch on, guys. So postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. That was another one of the biggest, you know, things that I got from other women of, I wish I knew how to handle it, and I wish I knew that it was going to come. So postpartum depression is something that, you know, is asked about during your visit postpartum. But guys, that doesn't come until 6 weeks, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks after you've had a baby. Some of you are going to experience that before that. Okay. Postpartum depression is a very real thing. And so is postpartum anxiety. I have not personally experienced depression, but I have experienced postpartum anxiety, where I'm just very anxious about everything, very anxious about making the wrong decision. I'm anxious about what could happen to the baby. I'm anxious about my other kids. I'm anxious about just basically everything in my life. I'm anxious about the nighttime. Like, you know, when nighttime comes, I get like nervous because you don't know how the night's going to be. And that's when, you know, a lot of the loneliness comes and the depression may come is typically at night because everybody else in your house is going to bed. The whole world is going to bed, but you don't know what your night is going to consist of. Are you going to be up every hour? Are you going to get sleep? Is the baby going to be fussy? And typically, you know, that's when a lot of the anxiety would come in for me. This is completely normal, but it doesn't mean that we have to just live with it, right? I think the biggest thing for me is when I'm feeling that way, I talk about it. I talk about it with my husband, or I talk about it with my mom. But some people don't have those resources, and we need more help, whether that's medication or whether that's asking for help in the home. You guys, I'm just here to say, like, you need to speak up. You need to advocate for yourself. You need to tell people you're feeling this way. It's not normal to feel depressed. It's not normal to be sad. It's not normal to, you know, want to hurt yourself even or hurt your baby. Those are all things that some people experience during postpartum depression. And while they're not normal, they do happen. It is a very real thing that happens to a lot of women, but we don't say anything. We don't get our help. So I did an entire podcast on this. And so I'll make sure to share that just to bring it back to the surface. But your hormones are going crazy right now. It's normal to cry. It's normal to feel overwhelmed. And those things are going to come and go. They may not be constant. You may have waves of, you know, super, super high, but then also lows. And there's so many factors that can contribute to that, whether it's hormones, whether it's your environment around you, whether it's the relationship with your spouse, whether it's if you have a baby that cries a lot. There's a lot of things that can play a role in postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. But I'm just here to tell you that, you know, it is okay if you're experiencing that, but you've got to get help. You've got to ask for help. And don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel shame. Don't feel guilt. There's so many of us that suffer silently. And even if it's just me, reach out to me if you need to. I am always open on my DMs or my email. Talk to me if you need help. I can certainly guide you to the right person to get help. I just want you to know that you're not alone. And a lot of us moms, we do get the baby blues. And there is differences, guys. There's difference between baby blues, anxiety, depression. I'm not going to make this podcast all about that, but just know it's a very real thing. And if you're experiencing it, you're not alone. There is resources out there. There is help. And I just want to advocate that you need to get it if you need it. Okay. So be prepared for that as you're going into postpartum, into that fourth trimester, and be aware and just openly communicate. Make sure you've got somebody that you trust and that you love and that loves you back and that can help you get the help if you need it. All right, couple more. Bonding with the baby immediately. This was another one that I got a lot. And that it is okay if you don't absolutely love your baby as soon as they come out of the womb. It takes time. Sometimes, you know, it's a difficult bond to create right away. Some people do and some people don't. And you guys, we have to know that there's no right or wrong, right? It just is what it is. So if you're not bonding with your baby right away, don't feel guilty. Some babies take work. Sometimes that bond just doesn't come naturally, and that is okay. A couple weeks may need to go by where you really feel in love with your baby. Think of a relationship with, you know, your spouse, right? Like you didn't love them day one, right? But you, over time, that love grows, it gets stronger. And that's okay if that's the relationship that you have with your baby. So if you're not bonding right away, know that it is something that other moms do experience. And from the advice that I was given is that just, you know, continue to check in with yourself and to make sure that, you know, you're okay, the baby's okay, you guys are being safe, but you're making sure that you're creating that bond every day. But just don't feel that shame, don't feel that guilt if you're not instantly connecting with your baby. All right, relationship with your spouse. So the relationship with your spouse, it's naturally going to change when you have a baby. I can remember this overwhelming feeling when I had Cameron that I felt like I fell in love with my husband all over again. Like there was just so much bliss, right? As soon as we had that baby, it was just, we were a family. It took our relationship to another level, right? So we had this happy side, but then became a little bit of a resentment. And I'm going to be super vulnerable and share with you guys, you know, my relationship with Devin, which, you know, it's not always easy. So, but I think it's important that I share with you guys this stuff because you can prepare yourself with your spouse. And there's things that, you know, yeah, you might talk about how great it's going to be when you have a baby, but you need to make sure to have conversations about how you guys are going to handle certain things in that postpartum phase to prevent feeling resentful. And just to, as a disclaimer, my husband and I are perfectly great. Our marriage is great. We love each other. And anything I'm going to share with you is we're not in any like rocky marriage. So I'm just being real. I'm being honest because I'm hoping that it can help you and maybe any feelings that you'll have towards your spouse. But listen, you guys, like I said, you're going to have this like high of a high of just absolutely adoring your husband. You're seeing him as a father, whether it's for the first time or the second time or third time, it's a love that does get stronger, right? When you have another baby or you have a baby for the first time. But it can also come a lot of resentment, but also feeling like you're on two different planets, you know? So let me just give you an example. I can remember with Cameron, I had a little bit of resentment because he could leave for the day. He could go travel. He could go work. He could go basically keep up with his normal day-to-day life. But a lot changed for me, like overnight, right? I became a mother. I didn't, you know, have work anymore. I was on maternity leave, or maybe I was trying to juggle work a little bit. And, you know, I'm experiencing all this stuff for the first time, breastfeeding, sleep deprivation, anxiety to make sure that I'm doing everything right. So I'm feeling all these feelings, right? The mental load inside of me was running over. And I could look at, and he was doing kind of all the same things, right? Like, I didn't feel like he had any changes to his life. So does that create resentment? Yes, it absolutely did. Was it to the point where, you know, it drew a wedge in our marriage? No, but it definitely created some resentment. And these are feelings that were all very, very new to me. So it's normal, in my opinion, to feel resentment, but not to let it, just to talk about it, right? And not to let it be a competition. And it still was for number three, right? Like, well, I'm more tired than you, and, or I'm doing more than you. Like, try to avoid the competition of I'm doing this and you're not doing this. I wish that was easier said than done, but it's not. So resentment is a normal thing to feel, but make sure you guys are talking about it as a couple. So maybe it's best to have a conversation before the baby comes to say, okay, who's going to be responsible for, you know, the nighttime duties, right? Most likely it's going to be the mom, but maybe in your scenario, dad can take a feeding, depending on his work schedule. I don't know. You guys need to talk about that though. What's going to change, right? So cooking, cleaning, who's going to do that? Are we going to outsource it? Are you going to pick up some of the slack? Am I going to still be responsible for it? Like, think about when the baby has been crying for an hour in the middle of the night. Can I wake you up? And are you going to get mad that I wake you up? Like, things like that are very important to just have open dialogue about. And I don't think him and I had any idea what life was going to be like when we had our first baby. But even the third time around, you know, there's different dynamics, right? And so who's going to put the older kids to bed? Who's going to wake the older kids up? Who's going to take them to school? So those were things that we needed to work through to make sure that our family was running on all cylinders. And it took a little bit of time, but we've come to agreements on what his duties are and what my duties are. And I think that's very, very important, because if you don't, like, you end up taking it on as a mother, taking on the guilt, taking on the burden, and then that's where the resentment comes in. So if you guys can talk about the points of tension, and you can create new habits, new routines, temporary duties fall on the husband that maybe once fell on you as the wife or the mother. Ask for that help, or ask to get it outsourced, or figure out a way to get it outsourced, but it shouldn't all fall on you. During this third or fourth trimester, your focus should be healing yourself, taking care of a tiny human, and or other kids too. It shouldn't be cooking and cleaning and keeping up with all the other things that you keep up with. Like, you should be able to delegate that to a spouse, a partner, or somebody else. So trying to get on the same page there is super important. But if you guys don't do that and you just have a baby and now all this stuff is, you're faced with it, I just beg you, mom to mom, woman to woman, talk, like, communicate with your spouse, communicate, talk about it, tell them how you're feeling, tell them exactly what you need. You guys, men are not mind readers, and if you expect them to be, you're going to fall short of your expectations. So make sure you're talking and communicating. I have to tell Devin exactly what I need, and he appreciates that because he's not a mind reader. And so if I walk around stomping my feet mad and he's like, what's wrong, and I haven't told him what I need from him or why I'm upset with him, how can I expect anything to change? So I think communication is one of the biggest things that you need to work on in your relationships when you have kids, because you're going to be on different pages, you guys. And that's the next thing I want to kind of shift to is that feeling of, yes, you absolutely love your husband and you guys are just simply adored by your new family. But it can also feel like you guys are on separate pages, right? Because that's where Devin and I can find ourselves right now with three kids. We have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. So like I said, we are kind of dividing and conquering, right? He's doing bedtime. He's doing the wake-ups for the big kids. He's taking the big kids to school. And then he's going to work and he gets home. And so we feel like we're very much on different pages sometimes. And that can feel lonely. That can feel isolating. That can feel sad sometimes because you do like have this newfound love for your husband because you added another member to your family. But, you know, when he's not tired, I'm tired. When I'm not tired, he's tired. Like, you know, it's so bonding can be a little bit difficult in those first 6 to 12 weeks of bringing home a new baby because, you know, you guys are dividing and conquering. And so therefore your schedules are on opposites. And the biggest thing you can do, guys, is find those windows of time where you're just loving and appreciating the other person. Try to be open. Try to talk about things. Try to not feel that resentment. And when you are feeling it, try to get to the root of it. Talk about it. Ask for help. Communication is the biggest thing. Make sure you're splitting up those duties so the burden isn't all falling on you. And, you know, just know that this is a phase of life, a phase of marriage, and you'll get back to those date nights. You'll get back to that alone time at night, maybe where you guys got all the kids down and you can actually sit down and have a conversation without someone interrupting you. I know I'll get back to that time, even though it's not happening right now. That's okay. We got to stick together. Him and I are our team. And so when we're not centered and we're not together, it trickles down to our children. So always remember that bigger picture. But the best way you can do that is to communicate, talk about how you're feeling. All right, guys, I have two more things before we wrap up this podcast. Mom guilt. So mom guilt, when you have multiples, this probably hit me hardest from 1 to 2. So from Cameron to Maxwell, because of course I have just Cameron. I am just absolutely in love with my baby girl, with my daughter. I can't imagine loving somebody else the way that I love Cameron. And I'm so worried about how is she going to feel when Maxwell comes into this world? And is she going to feel jealous? Am I going to be able to spend enough time with her? Okay, so those feelings really came over me from 1 to 2. From 2 to 3, I think I was prepared. I knew my heart would grow. I knew that, you know, they would miss me and they wouldn't get a lot of my time at first, but I always knew that with more time became, Again, it's all a phase, right? So I knew that, yes, these first couple of weeks when I'm breastfeeding around the clock, the kids are probably not going to get as much of my attention, but I always know that that's a phase. So from 2 to 3, it wasn't as difficult. The mom guilt did not hit me as hard, but it is a real thing. You are worried about having another baby and how you're going to love another baby as much as you love the first, or, you know, whatever you're feeling. But your heart truly does multiply, you guys. It grows. You find little windows of time to really pour into your big children and still take care of your little ones. You know, have date time, have, you know, date nights with not only your spouse, but also with your kids, you know, and find that dedicated time, figure out what they love to do with you. Whether it's a board game when the baby is sleeping, or, you know, it's a special time out to get ice cream with mom. You know, those are things that you just have to commit to, and you have to rearrange schedules. You have to ask for help. You have to arrange it with your spouse, but your heart will truly grow and you will love every child just as much. You love them all differently. You know, like there's different things that you love about them, but you will love every child the same. At least that's my experience, you guys, with what I have right now. So, but I love them all differently. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. So love looks different. But I love them all so, so much. And you don't run out of love to give to them. Time is hard, but you figure it out. you know, you swap bedtimes and you let your spouse do the newborn bedtime and you do the big kid bedtime. And so you give them that one-on-one time before bed, like whatever works for you, you've got to do. But just know that, you know, it is going to be a little difficult at first, but you guys will work it out and it's all a phase. Last thing is visitors. So I don't want to touch too much on visitors during COVID because I really would just guide you towards whatever your doctor is recommending, whatever your pediatrician is recommending, but just visitors in general. Make sure that, you know, if you don't want visitors, that you're okay. Like, you have to feel that it's okay. Don't feel guilty. Like, if you don't want somebody to come over and hold your baby, then just say no, no, thank you. You know, thank you so much for thinking of us, but right now we don't have visitors. And that's okay, you guys. You have to do what's best for you and what's best for your family. Sometimes when you have visitors over, like, you end up entertaining them and you end up cleaning your house for them and making sure that they feel welcome in your home, when that's really not, should not be your focus during those first couple of weeks or months even. But visitors, you know, have, for me, I enjoy them as long as it's somebody who I, you know, trust and I feel comfortable with. Most likely I'm going to be whipping out my boob and breastfeeding when they're over here. But if you don't feel comfortable with having visitors, just say that. And if they want to drop off food, let them drop it off at the curb, you know, and that's okay. That is absolutely okay. I know right now, the CDC is not really recommending that you have a lot of visitors. But do what's comfortable for you and make sure when they do come over, if you need help, you're asking for it. So, hey, do you mind holding the baby while I go take a shower? Do you mind holding the baby while I go take a nap? Do you mind holding the baby while I, you know, go make myself some food? Whatever the case may be, if you need help, or hey, I know you're coming over. Do you mind stopping at Walgreens and grabbing this prescription or grabbing a pack of diapers or grabbing me something? Most of the time, visitors are going to ask those questions. And if they already have been a mom, they're going to know that you need a break doing something. So let them help you. If they want to do your dishes or fold a load of laundry, let them do that. Don't tell them no. They want to help you. They want to usually help mom and they want to see the baby. But let them help you or ask for help. That's why they're coming over, you guys. I know at the first I was like so afraid to ask for help and I'd be like, I felt like I needed to entertain them. Don't do that, you guys. Like, especially if this is another mom coming over, they've been in your shoes and really they just want to be able to help, but you got to tell them what you need. So, don't be discouraged to say no, though. If you're very tired or the one window that you have to take a nap was also the same window that someone said they were going to come over, text them and say, listen, I did not get any sleep last night. I've got this one window to take a nap. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Can we reschedule our visit? Just do it, you guys. You need to take care of yourself first, because when you take care of yourself, then you can take care of your baby the best, your family the best. And don't feel bad. So that is what I got, you guys. Thank you to everybody that contributed to giving me this outline to take the, you know, to take it with the podcast. Thank you for contributing to all these different tips. Some of them I have experienced, some of them I haven't. I hope this has helped you if you're a first-time mom or if you are somebody that's getting ready to have another baby. Thank you guys for listening this long. I know sometimes I can ramble and I am definitely like a little sleep deprived, so I may have said things wrong or I may have mumbled a little bit, so thank you guys for bearing with me. Please go follow me on Instagram, morgan.a.klein, where I am trying to share as much of my journey as I can, and through stories, through my Instagram posts. But just know that you guys are not alone, and the biggest thing I want you to know coming out of this podcast is that it is okay to ask for help if you are struggling, if you're feeling down, if you are having shame, having guilt, having anxiety. Please, please, please don't be afraid to ask for help. It takes a village. It truly does. I know that's just something people say, but it truly does take a village. Use help, ask for it, and don't be afraid to just do what is best for you and best for your baby and best for your family. Nobody knows what you need other than you. Nobody knows better than you to do what's best for your baby. So Thank you guys as always for listening. Hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.kline. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.